wanna believe what you say, but I hate you on most days. You've been testing my faith and my patience, yeah. And you know that I be headstrong, but you know that you be dead wrong, telling me to relax when I'm reacting. But I'd rather fight and lose sleep at night. At least you're on mine. And if I have to choose my heart or you, I'm gonna lose, yeah. What if nothing ever will change? Oh, I'm caught between your love and a hard place. Oh, I wish there was a right way. I'm caught between your love and a hard place. Oh, 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 oh. Do I even have a choice when I'm gonna have to pick my poison? How you hurt me so good, so good. And even when you cause tears, you're the one to wipe them away. Maybe that's the reason I stay, I stay. And if I have to choose my heart or you,
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm 17. I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mashuda. I'm also from Hudson, and I'm 17.
I am Fahim. I'm 14, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we enjoy.
Books we hate.
And other bookish things. And that's what we're going to do today. We're recording from the Hudson Area Library here in Hudson, New York, and we're going to talk about some books. We have many books here in the library, but everyone here brought some books to talk about. So we'll start off with Fahim.
I haven't read this book, but I'm going to later on read it. It's called Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe by Benjamin Arancibianez. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Sense.
Yeah. Dante can't swim. Arai can't. Arai is Aristotle. Dante is articulate and self-assured. Arai has a hard time with words and suffers from self-doubt. Dante gets lost in poetry and art. Arai gets lost in thoughts of his older brother who is in prison. Dante is fair-skinned. Arai's features are much darker. Seems that a boy like Dante, with his open and unique perspective on life, would be the last person to break down the walls that Arai has built around himself. But against all odds, when Arai and Dante meet, they develop a special bond that will teach them the most important truths of their lives and help define the people they want to be. But there are big hurdles in their way, and only by believing in each other and the power of their friendship can Arai and Dante emerge stronger on the other side. Yeah.
And that's one of our Battle of the books this year, so all of us are going to eventually read that. What made you decide to read that one first?
I just saw it in front of me. That's basically it. Basically it was like in a corner and stuff. I just saw this, so I just decided to read it.
So you saw no other books, just the one, and it called to you?
Basically, yeah.
For those listening that don't know what the Battle of the Books is, can you tell them a little bit about the battle?
It's a competition between different libraries in the Mid-Hudson system. Like, basically, kids from each library, like, read 5 different books in the teenage thing. And there's, like, a tween level, but, like, 1 teenager. So in the teen level, like, basically, we, like, read all these teen books, and then we compete against other libraries and see whoever wins gets, like, a banner for the library. And, like, yeah, basically, it's pretty fun.
Do you think we'll get a banner this year?
Hopefully.
That'd be pretty cool. So I see Miss Shuda has another Battle of the Books book in front of her, so maybe you can tell us about that book.
So this is one of the Battle of the Books. It's One of Us is Lying by Karen M. McInnes. So it says, pay close attention and you might solve this. On Monday afternoon, 5 students at Bayview High walk into detention. Bronwyn, the brain, is Yale bound and never breaks a rule. Eddie, the beauty, is the picture-perfect homecoming princess. Nate, the criminal, is already on probation for dealing. Cooper, that athlete, is all-star baseball pitcher. And Simon, the outcast, is the creator of Bayview High's notorious gossip app. Only Simon never makes it out of that classroom. Before the end of detention, Simon's dead. And according to investigators, his death wasn't an accident. So on Monday he died, but on Tuesday he'd planned to post juicy reveals. But all 4 of his high-profile classmates, which makes all 4 of them suspects in his murder. Everyone has secrets, right? What really matters is how far you would go to protect them. So, like, I haven't really read this story yet, but, like, just reading the description, it's like, because, you know, I really like mystery and, you know, so it's basically like all 4 of them were present. It has some high school twist in it, and also it reminds me of the movie The Dove.
It kind of reminds me of the movie Searching, which was like played up to be a horror movie in trailers, but was actually more of a mystery once you actually watched it, and it was actually much better than the trailers made it out to be. It's also like a teen mystery in which a girl goes missing, and instead of like other kids being suspects, it's her father trying to find her through stuff in her computer, and it's filmed in the same way Unfriended and that series is, which aren't very good movies, but this movie was very good.
And it also reminds me of Love, Simon, too. Like, wasn't like Simon was talking to his friend online, and then he suddenly gets caught, and he's afraid that she, like, to express himself. It's similar, like, in here. His name is Simon, too, and he has gossip app, but suddenly he's the one out of the other 4 dies, and it's cool, yeah.
Yeah, I thought this one was really fun. I like a good mystery, and it was cool because it was told from, I can't remember if it's from the perspective of each of the students or if it was just following each of the students in turns, like each chapter is a different student.
I don't know.
It's just really fun trying to guess who did it or if any of them did it.
I think it has a perspective of different students because, like, I just randomly turned into page 8 and it says Cooper, Monday, September 24, 3:05 p.m. So I think it's like diary and telling, like, different students' perspective.
It's kind of written in the same, like, way as, you know, like, Young Elites and Unwound is, where each chapter is a different character's name with just a different number next to it, and that title, like, tells you what character you're gonna follow, like Adelina or Risa in Unwound. It's kind of written like that, and I love stories that are written like that.
But then it's also fun in this one because it's a mystery and the suspects are all the small group that was in this room. So then you're like, do you trust them as they're narrating the story? Yeah. Or could they maybe be hiding something? And what are they hiding?
I love those Agatha Christie-like style mysteries. Mm-hmm. I've never read Murder on the Orient Express, but I have watched it and it was very good. Basically the stories that came before the game Clue, or maybe Clue came first. I don't know which came out first. But it's like those kind of things.
Like Miss Emily said, like, it's really cool that, you know, everyone says it in their own story of what happens. But it's like, as a detective, like, point of view, it's really hard to understand who's telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which makes it really fun.
Yeah, I was reading this and I did not want to stop reading until I found out who did it. And the funny thing is I don't actually remember who did it or what happened. So I'll have to read it again or have one of you spoil it for me. Fun times.
This kind of reminds me of The Breakfast Club, except without the murder.
Yeah, there's not so much murder in Breakfast Club. But there is detention, and there's like five very different people. I think it's five.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Breakfast Club in a long time. So yeah, that's another Battle of the Books, 2019 battle book pick. We all get to read that this summer. And I'm curious, because Amelia doesn't have the book in front of her, so it's a mystery to me what you're going to talk about. Mystery no more. Here she goes.
I mean, it shouldn't be. I'm still reading Wings of Fire because I have no time ever. But as for which battle book I'm going to read first, I really want to read Six of Crows, I think, because I know it's like a fantasy book. And it's all, you guys also aren't reading it, so it'd just be convenient for me to read something that they aren't. I can't remember who writes Six of Crows, though.
Leigh Bardugo.
That one, yeah. And I just know it's a fantasy thing, and I'm still looking for something to fill the void that Young Leigh left in my soul. So I might pick up that after I finish the latest installment of Wings of Fire.
And I remember at one point when we were talking about the battle books, I think it was even before you knew that one was in the selection, but you were talking about how you like books where they have like the different characters all listed.
Yeah.
And Six of Crows does that as well.
Yeah, I love it's like this character, this adjective. And I'm just like, ooh, I can't wait to hear about that.
Yay. So those are three of the battle books that we're going to be reading this year. I am not reading a battle book right now. I brought two books to talk about today quickly, and they're both verse novels. I figured it's April, it's National Poetry Month, so I'd read some verse novels this month, and they're both new releases. One is a verse memoir, or a memoir in verse, by Laurie Halse Anderson, who wrote the book Speak, which is a very popular teen book.
Ooh, Speak.
Yeah. About a young woman who's experienced some trauma, and I can't remember if you know up front, but that she experiences a sexual assault.
Yes.
At a party before entering high school and is mute, and it's about her sort of making it through that year and finding her voice again. So Shout is Laurie Halse Anderson's memoir of her experiences growing up and her story of surviving a rape when she was 13. And then about her life as an author and her experiences talking about Speak with high schoolers, or in some cases not talking about Speak with high schoolers because some schools felt that it was too sensitive of a topic to talk about in school. And so sometimes she's kept out of schools for that reason, even though rape is something that should clearly be talked about to help keep it from happening and help people feel safe about speaking up when it does. But this was a really beautiful novel, and I guess I didn't realize, I don't know if I've ever read anything by her in verse, so I didn't realize that that was a format that she wrote in, but I think it was very well done. And there's some interesting segments, too. At one point in high school, she went and spent a year in Denmark, living and working on a pig farm. So there's a whole section on that and talking about, you know, transitioning into a new language and then transitioning out of it. But yeah, it was interesting hearing both about her experience as a young person and then her experience as an adult, writing about young people and writing stories based on her experiences. She also talks about the effects on her home life and on herself, having a father who had also experienced trauma during World War II and had come back with some issues that impacted her life. And she also used that in one of her books as sort of an inspiration for the book. So highly suggested, Laurie Halse Anderson, Shout. And then the other verse novel that I've been reading is not a memoir. It's a middle grade novel by Ada Salazar called The Moon Within. And it is about a young girl named Celie Rivera, who is of mixed race. She's Black, Puerto Rican, and Mexican. And she is at the age where she's soon going to be going through menstruation. And she's really nervous about it, not because she's nervous about that actually happening, but because her mom really wants her to do this moon ceremony, where basically it's this huge ceremony with, you know, all the women in the family.
Oh, no.
Helping her with a rite of passage, and she's not too excited about that. And so she's getting ready for that transition into womanhood, and then at the same time, her best friend is exploring what it means to be gender fluid. She's starting to realize that she doesn't identify as either a girl or a boy, but somewhere in between, and maybe that it shifts a little bit. And so both Celie and her friend are going through that as well. And she has this crush on this boy and is really into him, but then he starts saying horrible things about her friend. And so sort of navigating adolescence. So it's a really nice book. I'm about halfway through it right now and enjoying it so far. And then my next book that I'm planning to read is a historical fiction based on real history called White Rose, which we talked about as a book coming out recently on a show. But it's about Sophie Scholl and the folks who made a publication called The White Rose during the Nazi occupation of Germany. And I'm excited to read that. It's also told in verse, so that'll be my third verse novel of the month. It's my theme for April. So we're going to take a break for a little bit and listen to some music. If you're listening on Sunday or listening to our podcast, stay tuned for a little bit more from us. If you're listening on Friday, this is it for this week. Have a good week and happy reading. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, ACRIC Catskill and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. We've got the whole crew here today, me, Emily, Amelia, Mashuda, and Fahim. And it is National Poetry Month, so we are going to read some poems. And all of these poems are from the book, Poem in Your Pocket for Young Poets, 100 Poems to Rip Out and Read, published in conjunction with the Academy of American Poets and selected by Bruno Navasky, and then selected by us, because we can't read them all. Mm-hmm. There's just no time. So we picked some. So let's start off with Amelia.
So the first one I have here is called A Jellyfish by Marianne Moore. Visible, invisible, a fluctuating charm, an amber-tinctured amethyst inhabits it. Your arm approaches and it opens and it closes. You had meant to catch it and it quivers. You abandon your intent.
I have Barth by Louis Aldrich. When they were wild, when they were not yet human, when they could have been anything, I was on the other side ready with milk to lure them. And their father, too, each name a net in his hands.
This one's called The Hot Stove by Hal Sewitz. Mother was like a juggler. She'd cook 5 things at the same time. And if she made a mistake, one dish was overcooked. She wouldn't be deferred. She would just balance it out. Serve something a little raw.
I have one called No Deposit by Earl Thompson. Sometimes you feel like a bottle sitting by itself. No return, just empty, ready to be thrown away.
The Mind Dances by Lawrence Ferlinghetti. The mind dances when the body lets it, and when the body cannot, the mind dances within. But sometimes they move together, and together sway, and fly together, and dance and sing, and then it is indeed an enchanting thing.
Solitude by Charles Simmy. There now where the first crumb falls from the table, you think no one hears it. As it hits the floor, but somewhere already the ants are putting on their Quaker's hats and setting out to visit you.
This one's called Lots of Play by Gary Snyder. Lots of play in the way things work, in the way things are. History is made of mistakes. Yeah, on the surface, the world looks okay. Lots of play.
All right, this one is Window by Carl Sandburg. Night from a railroad car window is a great dark soft thing, broken across with slashes of light.
The Red Wheelbarrow by William Carlos Williams. So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow glazed with rainwater beside the white chickens.
So true.
This is Just to Say by William Carlos Williams.
Hey!
I have eaten the plums that were in the icebox and which you were probably saving for breakfast. Forgive me, they're delicious, so sweet and so cold.
The Lighted Window by Russell Edson. A lighted window floats through the night like a piece of paper in the wind. I want to see into it. I want to climb through it into its lighted room. As I reach for it, it slips through the trees. As I chase it, it rolls and tumbles into the air and skitters on through the night.
Dot, dot, dot. Yeah. I like that it ends in a dot, dot, dot. All right, this is Metaphors by Sylvia Plath. I'm a riddle in 9 syllables, an elephant, a ponderous house, a melon strolling on 2 tendrils. Oh, red fruit, ivory, fine timbers. This loaf's big with its yeasty rising. Money's new minted in this fat purse. I'm a means, a stage, a cow and calf. I've eaten a bag of green apples. Boarded the train. There's no getting off.
I guess those are metaphors. I have a pretty long one, but I like it. Permanently by Kenneth Koch. I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Cook.
K-O-C-H. That's how you spell it. If you guys at home want to try. One day the nouns were clustered in the street. An adjective walked by with her dark beauty. The nouns were struck, moved, changed. The next day, a verb drove up and created the sentence. Each sentence says one thing. For example, although it was a dark, rainy day when the adjective walked by, I shall remember the pure and sweet expression on her face until the day I perish from the green effect of earth. Or, will you please close the window, Andrew? Or, for example, thank you, the pink pot of flowers on the window sill has changed color recently to a light yellow due to the heat from the boiler factory which exists nearby. In the springtime, the sentences and the nouns lay silently on the grass, but only conjunction here and there would call, and but the adjective did not emerge. As the adjective is lost in the sentence, so am I am lost in your eyes, ears, nose, and throat. You have enchanted me with a single kiss, which can never be undone until the destruction of language. It's really pretty.
People of Unrest by Margaret Walker. Stare from your pillow into the sun. See the disk of light in shadows. Watch day grow tall. Cry with a loud voice after the sun. Take his yellow arms and wrap them around your life. Be glad to be washed in the sun. Be glad to see people of unrest and sorrow. Stare from your pillow into the sun.
Substantial Plains by Ira Ammons. It doesn't matter to me if poems mean nothing. There's no floor to the universe, and yet one walks the floor.
And we have time for one more. This is Still Life from a poem by Buddhadeva Bose, although it's by George Oppen, so figure that one out. What are you, apple? There are men who, biting an apple, blind themselves to bowl, basket, or whatever, and in a strange spell feel themselves, like you, outdoors, and make us wish we too were in the sun, and night alive with sap. So those are our poems of the week. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with more books and poems. Hope everyone has a good week with lots of quality reading time. Happy reading.
Bye.
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 Bye. Oh,